Okay, folks, let's begin with a prayer. Our mighty God in heaven, how good and gracious and kind you are to us. And we want to show that same graciousness toward our fellow man, whether in the church or out of the church. And Father, right now we're thinking about those who are outside of the church, who have not yet come to a belief in your existence. Help us to know how to speak with these people, because we know that some have been converted in the past, and we know that some shall be converted in the future. So use us to teach them and to work with them, that they might see the truth. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. Okay, so we're on question number 35, which I think is on the back side of your handout that I just gave you. And that is, why did humans used to act like other animals before civilization, if there is a God? Yeah. What was that, Paul?
Who said they did?
Yeah. Okay. And notice the subtle allusion to the other animals. Because they believe that's all we are. I mean, think about it. Isn't that true? If we were not created by God and created in His image, we are just pretty sophisticated, bipedal animals. Although, the atheists or the evolutionists, I'm actually glad they don't practice their atheism or evolution all the way. Because if they really believed that we were like animals, when they run over a cat that's gone across the road, do they stop for it?
Probably not.
Okay, well, what about when they run over a human?
That's the law.
What?
It's the law. They have to if you strike a dog or a cat.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
What are you supposed to do then?
Render aid.
What if it's dead?
Contact the owner as best you can.
Hmm. Well,
not a frog, not a frog or a turtle.
Domestic animal. But most people would just keep going on. But what if we hit a human? What if they hit a human? What was that? One more. I need to hear just Dorothy. Okay, I didn't hear the first part, but you can say it again.
Hit and run.
Okay, yeah, that happens, sure. But we understand there's something wrong with hit and run. Even they do. Right, because humans are not like another animal. So, and if we are mere animals, why shouldn't we act like animals? See, this here, this question implies that for some reason we're supposed to be acting better than the animals, better than the other animals. Isn't that what they're implying? But also they're saying if there is a God, then we should be acting better. Well, not necessarily. God created us good, but what has man done? In fact, there's a passage. Why didn't I think to look up for that? Where is that? That God did create man. It's in the book of Ecclesiastes. But they have sought out many inventions. Can someone look that up for me on your little phone or whatever? It should be in Ecclesiastes, and it talks about... Okay, I think I know where it is in this Bible here. Let me open it up. Should be right. I know it's on the right page, left column at the top, but I'm not finding it. Chapter 3, verse 11, He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, He has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work of God.
729.
729?
Yes.
Well, that's not the right spot. I can't be it. Okay, truly this only I have found, that God made man upright, but they have sought out many schemes. Okay. Yeah, that's the passage I'm thinking of. Good one. Thanks, Chris. So, yeah, just because there's a God, here's the thing. You know, God created us with free will. So he created us upright. But right there in the Garden of Eden, you see man already exercising his free will, and what happens? So you and I exercise our free will, and what happens, Chris?
So God the Father of humanity, and so when a parent teaches a child, don't do that, and the child goes and does it, does that mean they don't have parents?
Right, okay, yeah, exactly. I think that's a good point, yeah. And I think what this guy that's asking this question, he's coming from the standpoint of evolution. He's saying, here's the history of man. And he used to live like a brute beast. So why did he live that way if there was a God? I think that's where they're coming from, Andrea.
There is a general idea in the world, and even amongst Christians, that prior humans were less intelligent than we are now.
Right, yes.
So you see that obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Just for their time, they had invented the coolest things then, and you know, we have built off of their inventions, but they weren't any less intelligent than we are now.
Right, exactly. I believe that. I think Adam, the first human, had just as much intellectual capability as we do today, or we have just as much as he had, either way you want to put it. And I know I've brought this up before, and I've thought, and I've always said, well, we still haven't figured out how they built the pyramids. Although a French architect, everyone's pretty much agreed that he's probably figured out how they did it, because he said, if I was building the pyramids with what they had in those days, here's how I would do it. And we've actually got satellite images, you know, that penetrate in, you know, and through ground and stuff like that. And we can. It looks like he's probably right that they had an internal ramp. But anyways, since being in Egypt and all the studying that you all probably don't realize I've turned into an Egyptian monster. I'm constantly reading on it. I'm watching documentaries. I don't know how many I've watched. I'm buying books. I was in Medford the other day, and at Barnes & Noble, I bought like 5 books. I can't remember how much it cost now, but I expected it to be a lot. Here's my credit card. You know, because I'm just amazed by what they did. You know, we're looking at stuff that's not, well, like Don Patton. Remember when he was here, you know, I was talking with him, and I asked, because he's been to Peru, just like I have, and he's been to Machu Picchu, and I asked him what he thought of Machu Picchu, and he was not impressed with it at all. And I was like, why not? It's only 300 or 400 years old. He's really interested in the stuff in the Middle East. That's really old. Or Noah's Ark. You know, that's, he wants to go after the really old stuff. But anyways, I know I'm getting off track here. I've learned so much more about Egypt that I am now fully persuaded they had some type of machines to make a lot of the stuff that they made. I've read books on it. In fact, when we flew over there, almost the whole time in the airplane, I was reading a book called The Lost Technologies of Ancient Egypt or something like that. And this engineer here in America has gone over there, and he shows how there's no way you could do some of the stuff that they did with hand tools. It had to be machined somehow. My point being that ancient man is not as illiterate or dumb or ape-like as we tend to paint him. The Egyptians were highly intelligent people. And a question that I have too is, are there not, quote, civilized humans that do not act so civilized but as animals?
Yes.
In fact, a year or two ago, I watched, I forgot to bring my pens up. Carl, would you mind just, do you know where I keep the pens for the board? Right up there? You can get that. I watched the thing on the Colosseum, the Roman Colosseum. You've all seen pictures of it. And it was really a phenomenal engineering architectural feat. You know, the way they designed it, what it, you know, and how they could get, move crowds in quickly and get crowds out quickly, how they could flood the whole thing and have ships in there and dum, boom, 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 boom. And then this guy said, thank you. You know, here's I wish I had written down the quote, but he said something to the effect of, you know, this was produced by a highly civilized society for a very uncivilized purpose. I mean, think about most of the stuff they did in the Roman Colosseum. So here's a very civilized people, not only in crucifying people, but, you know the probably the things they've done in the Colosseum, especially what they did to Christians. You know how they would skin animals and put their skins on them, on Christians, and then let wild animals in there to attack Christians, and they'd crucify them for the crowd to watch and then set them on fire and stuff like that. That was a civilization, a civilized people that did that. So anyways, Gene.
I think there's a lot of things in this day and age that mankind has forgotten how to do.
Yeah.
We look at things that they use levers and weights to do, and we do with hydraulics,
right.
And so we have forgotten how to use the levers and weights.
You're right. My son-in-law, Chris, in San Francisco, one of the videos he likes to watch on YouTube, I wish I could remember the name of it, this guy, I think he's in Australia, makes things just with his own hands. And the tools that he's going to make, that he's going to use, he makes those. And he'll build a hut, you know, he'll build brick and all kinds of stuff. And he's usually just there in shorts, no shirt, no shoes, no gloves, nothing. And somehow he makes axes and hammers and makes things out of them. Has anybody ever seen, have you seen it?
Yes, that's not why I'm raising my hand.
Okay, what do you know what the name of it is? Oh, okay. Go ahead, Tracy.
Uneducated fishermen who didn't even know how to read, and if they're like that, how much more Moses and, you know, people who wrote other parts of the Bible. And so obviously, you know, their whole caveman idea is based on evolution, so we don't accept that, but I think it's important. I don't know, so many of these questions are just trying to get people riled up, and if you respond
yeah.
to that, then you're giving them the rest of it.
Yeah, so yeah, when you deal with these here, you have to keep your cool, because I think some of the questions we've looked at, I think it's the shock value, and if you can shock someone, you have, what's the word I'm looking for, just, you've,
it's unnerving.
They're what?
It's unnerving, but if you're on the defensive, you're not thinking.
Right, yeah. And you, when you think about Jesus, how many times he was questioned or challenged, and then he would always turn it around on them. He went on the offensive. Yeah, Wayne?
On the Colosseum, that was built around 70, 72 A.D., and a lot of people think that they used the gold from the temple in Jerusalem to pay to build the Colosseum.
You're right. I'd forgotten about that, yeah. That's a very strong possibility. Okay, let's go on to the next question, number 36. Why did God start the human race out of incest and then make incest illegal? Why is incest, what we call incest now, like a brother and a sister, such as what would have been Adam and Eve's children, why do we call it incest now, and why is it not acceptable, either biblically or according to the laws of our land?
Well, biblically, it was commanded not to do that in Deuteronomy, maybe?
What was that last part?
Deuteronomy. I don't remember what book.
Okay.
Right. Brother, and it goes on through the
yeah.
uncle and aunt and all that.
And yet, there's a very famous couple in the Bible that they were half siblings.
Abraham and Sarah.
Abraham and Sarah. And who did somebody else say? No, Abraham and Sarah is what I'm thinking of. And I heard another name over here, I thought. Okay. So what? Why is it a problem now? I mean, God, we understand where he speaks on that. Yes, Phil?
Back in biblical days was to multiply, replenish the earth.
Okay, so you're starting off to humans. And obviously their children are going to have to marry or mate or whatever you want to call it and go from there. One thing that creationists have studied is the gene pool. The gene pool back then was not yet corrupted. There was nothing wrong with it. It was pure. Whereas now, that's not the case anymore. And if a brother and sister, full blood, were to have children today, what...
Deformities.
Okay, we believe deformities would result. So it's...
Also, I think back in the Roman history when they would marry each other, that's what some of the Caesars or whatever, they weren't all together.
Yeah. Well, you know, what is that guy's name? You might be a redneck if...
Jeff Foxworthy.
Jeff Foxworthy. He says if your family tree goes straight up, you might be a redneck. And that doesn't have any branches. Of course, he could say that a lot better. He got laughs. And, yeah, it's just right now, it's a physiological, medical, you know, thing with the human body that we're just not capable of doing that anymore. And shouldn't. I shouldn't say we're not capable. We're capable, but there's reasons why it would be forbidden. So... Okay, so God started with one man, one woman, and then he went on from there. Okay, so number 37. What will happen to the native Indians who never heard of the loving, notice the quotation marks, God? Why did Jesus give the Great Commission? Because everybody's saved?
That everyone would know of God.
Yeah, because they're lost. You know, without Christ, you're lost. Now, here's another thing that's true. Look at Romans chapter 2. Starting at verse 12. For as many as have sinned without law will also perish without law, and as many as have sinned in the law will be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just in the sight of God, but the doers of the law will be justified. For when Gentiles who do not have the law by nature do the things in the law, these, although not having the law, are a law to themselves, who show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and between themselves their thoughts accusing or else excusing them in the day when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. So did you follow what Paul said there? The people who don't have God's law, how is he going to deal with them? Okay, so what about those people at the end of verse 14? Although they don't have the law, they by nature do the things of the law. In other words, people who don't know the Bible, you know, like we do, is everything they do in life wrong? No. They do plenty of things that are right by nature. They've either been taught that or they see the sense of it. It makes sense not to hurt your neighbor because you'll get hurt back, sort of thing. Phil?
I think the one line here that's pretty important is their conscience also buried witness.
Right, either accusing them or excusing them, he said, yeah. Right. So God's going to deal with that in his own way. In the meantime, he gave us the Great Commission because they need to hear the gospel that they might be saved. For example, what happens to people who live in places where they don't have the medicine that we have here? If, for example, I'll give you an example. When I was a kid, I never had CMV, cytomegalovirus. Most people in America have. In fact, I don't remember if it's the West Coast or the East Coast, 100% of the people have. And as you move one way or the other, whichever way it is, the percentages drop. And you've probably have all had it. You don't know it. The reason I know I didn't have it is because before my transplant, I needed to be tested for it because my mom had had it. Okay, so when they found that out, they wanted to give me ganciclovir for 3 months after my transplant, believing that would kill what I'm going to bring into my body from my mom's kidney. It didn't, by the way. So anyways, I did get it the next year, 1999, and I got really deathly ill, and Carrie had to rush me up to OHSU real quick, and I was hospitalized up there for 4 days, and they gave me a PICC line. You've probably done that before, I would guess. That was kind of weird. She was preparing me like surgery, and says, "You're getting a little nervous thinking I'm going to do surgery on your arm." I'm like, "Yeah." So, you know, and they put this line that goes all the way here, and then she told me at some point to turn the head so it wouldn't go up into my brain, and they put this line right on top of my heart. And they put it there because if they put it in the back of your hand like an IV, I guess it would burn everything up. That's how powerful it is. So then I go back home, and I have to have that same treatment for another 2 weeks. And it finally, as far as we know, got rid of it. But they told me at the hospital, she said 10 years ago, transplant patients who got CMV died from it until they invented ganciclovir. Okay, so what about people in their parts of the world who have a suppressed immune system for some reason and they get CMV? What's going to happen to them?
Probably going to die.
Yeah. So, do you see the point that I'm making? Just because they don't have it available to them doesn't mean nature's going to be fair to them. They're going to still die. So that's why Jesus gave us the Great Commission. And are there going to be some people who haven't heard the gospel who may be saved? I think he kind of implies that here in Romans 2. But generally speaking, that's going to be no. So that's why it's so urgent that we keep the Great Commission, that we get the gospel message out. So native Indian, whoever it is, yeah, they need to hear of God that they might be saved. Okay, number 30, go ahead.
The native Indians always believe in the Great Spirit, you know. Who taught them? They had a sense.
Right. There's a lot of things about the Native American Indian religion that Europeans found when they came here that shows they had some kind of knowledge, I think, of the gospel in the past. And I think it happened in my opinion, one of two ways. I think it was either, how do I want to call it, the great dispersion in Genesis 10, which is explained in Genesis 11 with the Tower of Babel. Why are there people all over the earth? Why are there people of different languages? Well, you see that happening in Genesis 10, and then Genesis 11 says, here's what happened. So people started to spread all over the earth, including going east, you know, through China and then over into North America. Or I think another possibility is that there were missionaries. Did I spell it right? Isn't there two N's there?
Close.
Okay, so you know what it is. And it could be that they just went out. The church sent them out, and they went in all directions. And they went places may have found people there, may not have found people there, but they stayed there. Let's say if that's true. They came to North America and went down into South America. And, you know, over the years, the decades and the centuries, they eventually lose all that. But they still, some things they retain in their culture that have a spirit-like thing that Phil was talking about. Does that make sense? Yes, Jim. Yeah, I've seen that before too, yeah. So it makes you wonder, you know, yeah. Okay, so number 38. If the Native Indians will go to heaven because they did not hear about God, then will not they just be given a pass without any tests on the planet? What do you think about that? While it's true that those who know more is expected of them, it's also true that there's only one way to heaven. You know, John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Okay. Therefore, I think the Native Indians, just like all people on this planet, must come to a knowledge of the truth at some point. Okay, so number 39. Yeah, is this still on your handouts? Okay. Why did God create millions of species who are extinct today in the first place if he wanted to make them extinct? Okay, I understand what they're asking, but did he want to make them extinct? Did he want them to go extinct? No.
How would this guy know that? How would he know that God wanted them to be extinct?
That he what again?
He's assuming that God wanted them to be extinct.
Right. I think he's saying this because there are animals going extinct. Therefore, that must be what he wants. Because he's in control. Chris?
Well, part of it is man. Yeah. I mean, a lot of the things that are going extinct is because man either polluted their rivers or hunted them to extinction. Or what was it? I think it was the water buffaloes where they ran them off a cliff somewhere. Back in the pioneer days or whatever, where they were—that's how they would kill them. Is they would just get them to stampede off the cliffs or something like that.
Yeah, there's a reason that the buffalo don't wander the Midwest or the High Plains anymore. It's not because they went into retirement, but they were hunted to extinction, just about, anyways. And the dodo bird. You know, that's one of the famous ones there. A lot of things that we've hunted into extinction. But there's also something else in Earth's history that's really big. Tracy? Two things.
Well, I wasn't answering that. I was just going to say that they don't seem to understand that we can believe in natural laws and that God set things up, but then he also set natural laws, and that if a species is going to be... something's going to ruin its environment, then it won't live anymore. And that's part of the laws of nature that he set up. And so, therefore, things go according to those laws. And that's not... I don't know. I know there's a prevailing belief that Christians don't believe in science, that science and Christianity are exclusive of each other. But, I mean...
That's just not true at all, is it, Chris?
Well, like right now, they're having a problem with crabs, that their shells are becoming soft, based on something that's going on in the ocean. I was just talking to the kids at dinner about it. They're now starting to find, I don't know if it was like regular crabs or lobster or what, but the shells are becoming softer. And so they're thinking there's something in the ocean.
Yeah.
Or whatever. But something is now changing the ecosystem that is messing up.
Yeah.
So...
Now, let's start with man. Does it appear to you that God intended for man to live forever on the earth?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, isn't that what the Tree of Life is all about? And I think also when you look at the first five chapters of Genesis and see those long ages that those guys lived, I think he's showing us that he made the human body capable of living a long time and with help from the Tree of Life forever. So what would that imply about the earth? What was that, Dorothy? That it could also be forever. And that would include everything on it, right? But what happened? There's two things that happened that changed the earth.
Sin.
Okay, Adam and Eve's sin. And that introduced death into the world. And in order for there to be death, there's a whole lot of other things that got to come with it. But then also something else really big.
The flood,
which is also a result of man's sin. Well, the flood changed the earth. Okay, topographically, okay, that's like the, like you get a topographic map and it shows you the elevations. It changed it that way. It changed it geographically. It changed the environment. It changed everything about the earth, the natural earth, so that it's not as an ideal place to live in anymore. And look at Hebrews chapter 1. It's really a quotation of Psalm 102, but I want you to look at Hebrews 1 because that's probably easier for you to remember since we spend most of our time in the New Testament. Okay, so look at Hebrews 1 verses 10 through 12. And you, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. And they will all grow old like a garment. Like a cloak, you will fold them up, and they will be changed, but you are the same, and your ears will not fail. So what does that tell you? Right there, the scriptures are revealing to us, quoting from Psalm 102, that the earth now has an age limit like we do. The earth is eventually just going to wear out. And, you know, I'm sure that's going to coincide with the second coming, and it's just all over. That's when he ends everything. So the earth is wearing out because of what man has done. So coming back to our question, why did God create millions of species who are extinct today in the first place if he wanted to make them extinct? Well, it's not that he wanted to make them extinct. When man sinned, death entered the world. And of course, you know, man's sin on the earth has changed the earth more than most people realize. Look what I was just showing you right here. Let's see. And also, look at Romans 8. Romans 8, 19 through 22. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility. It didn't create itself to it. It was subjected to it. Not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope, because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. So in other words, our earth, whether we realize it or not, is reacting to the corruption that man's sin has brought on the earth. To me, the ultimate example of that is when Jesus died. Two things. The earth shook. I've always kind of pictured, like, here's the earth and all this activity is going on its back, and it just, like, it's trying to shake man off, you know, for the evil that he's doing. And what did the sun do? For 3 hours. For 3 hours, it didn't shine. It's like, it's almost like the earth is a person, and it just couldn't look anymore at what was going on the earth. So, in a lot of ways, the scriptures personify creation. Okay, so number 40, you need a handout now, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, the earth is settling. You can tell by all the earthquakes and everything, it's just settling down, blowing off steam.
I think there should be probably more than enough there. Okay, so question number 40 is, if evolution theory is wrong, then why has God kept so much evidence for that theory? So in other words, they're saying to us, you say evolution didn't happen. You're saying evolution theory is wrong. And so they're saying, okay, well, if that's the case, then why did God stick so much evidence for evolution in the earth? Well, look at it from their standpoint. That's what they're saying. They're trying to think along with us. You say there's a God, okay? You say He created the earth. He put evidence for evolution in it.
That's their
opinion. Yes, Chris.
I'd like to refute what their evidence would be. What is their evidence that there was actual evolution? Have they found a little micro dot that the earth was built out of, or did they find a human with, you know, wings or some kind of flippers? You know, if they found a mermaid, I might ask a question. You know, people.
Well, the whole thing about evolution comes down to, what is it that these evolutionists and so on, what do they look at that they say shows that we evolved and that all the living things evolved? What are they looking at?
Change.
Change in what? Why do they see change? Where do they see change, I mean?
Well, it's like when you find a fossil, it's a bird. It ain't evolving. It's already a bird. When you find something, they know what it is. It ain't turning into something else.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be evolving into something. That's what it was.
Okay. The whole idea of evolution rests on the so-called geologic column. And you see that part of the time. Like I pointed out to you before, you're going down the highway or you're in the mountains, and they had to cut the mountain or the hill. What do you see now exposed?
Strata.
Okay, you see all this different strata. Okay, and they have names for it all. They all have different names, you know, Jurassic and so on, like Jurassic Park, the movies. And they don't believe that these were all water-laid or water-laid all at the same time. Okay? So what they're looking at is they look in the bottom layers here and they see little tiny creatures, and they get progressively bigger, and eventually you've got dinosaurs and things like that, and then later you have birds and so forth. And can the flood, I think Noah's flood can explain this whole thing. But Wayne Jackson pointed out something to me one time. He said, there is nowhere on the earth where the entire geologic column is located in one piece. In other words, here in Oregon, you're going to see, you know, certain parts of it, and Iran, you'll see another part of it, and whatever. And so what they do, though, is they take all these different ones and they put them all together in textbooks, and you would think that geologic column is found everywhere on the earth. But that's not necessarily the case. Wayne?
There's a place in Canada where everything's reversed.
Okay, that was going to be my next thing, is the whole thing is upside down. There's a lot of different things about that, but let's assume that this is from a massive flood like Noah's flood. Why would these little tiny one-celled and those bigger, little tiny, very tiny animals and things like that, why would they be down at the bottom of the layer? And then you keep getting bigger animals, and then you get birds up on top. Why would that be? Think about a flood coming through.
It starts at the bottom and works its way up.
Okay, And can these little creatures, first of all, do they even know what's going on? No. They can't get away. A lot of what you're seeing here at these different levels are these creatures fleeing floodwaters. In fact, I think it's in Canada where there's even one of these strata is uplifted like this, and you could see the dinosaur tracks, and they were sliding down it. They were trying to climb up, and they would slide down because it was muddy. And the birds are going to be on top. So let's think about that. So mammals and dinosaurs, when they see a flood coming, can they go for higher ground?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, naturally. Why would the birds be towards the top? I mean, they got wings. They just fly. They eventually they're in the trees, and pretty soon they can't even survive. So, in other words, what you see in a geologic column is exactly what you would see in a flood. You know, with all these different fossils. That's why. But yet, when the evolutionist looks at it, he says, "You know what? The dinosaurs turned into birds."
Right.
Because they have similar hip structures and things like that, and this here is 300 million years old, and this here is 50 million years old. Therefore, these turned into that.
And how do we know that?
Well, that's what that's how they reason. Yeah, and they'll compare comparative anatomy. They compare the animals, and you see them in their minds. They see them changing from this to this because this is on top of it, and this is up higher, except for the few cases where it's reversed. but do you see what I'm saying there? So I don't think the geologic column or the earth that God made is preserving evolution in it at all. It's just showing what happened in Genesis chapters 6 through 9.
Starting at the bottom, those trilobites are fully formed and functional. And everything they find is fully formed and functional.
Right.
They have never found any intermediate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's even some cases, like I saw one here in Oregon at the John Day Clarnell unit. Have you ever checked out some of the fossils that are here in Oregon, things like that? Well, there's is it John Day? What, there's a little tiny town in eastern Oregon, Shekinah or something like that. I know I'm not saying that right. You look like you're trying to say it, Andrea. No?
No,
you're chewing, chewing gum. Okay. Anyways, there's a tree, a fossilized tree, that goes through these different layers. And what does that tell you? There's no way that a tree is going to stand for hundreds of millions of years. And it would have fallen over at some point. Anyways, there's problems with that. The point that I'm making here is what they see as evidence for evolution, I see as evidence for the flood.
Well, so Dad,
what was that?
They're talking about macro evolution.
Yes.
And it's been shown that there are instances of micro evolution in a small confined area. There is some adaptation, but it's not the reason why we're not across different areas.
Yeah. Yeah, this here, I mean, in a conversation like this or anything else, when we're talking about evolution, almost everybody means macroevolution or the general theory of evolution. Microevolution, what is that? That's change within a kind. Like, look at us. We're not all exactly the same. We've all descended from Adam and Eve. Anyways, I'll pick up, not next week. We got singing next week.